transformation is not about systems. People think like, oh, digital transformation, oh, it's system. It's actually not that. It's about people and processes. Every customer has their own flavor.
Hi, welcome to Deliver Next. I'm Fraser Payne, Head of AI with HSO, and today's discussion is between Nathan Brinkman, our Marketing Manager, and Wesley Nelson, the Service Line Director for HSO ANZ. Wesley is a wealth of knowledge on ERP platforms, and in recent years, he's been transforming not just our delivery methodology, but the outcomes we offer to our customers using AI. Wesley takes us through the discovery of optimal use cases, adoption processes, and how to plan for the 5 to 10 year timeframe, not just the next few months. Wesley introduces us to the low-hanging fruit of AI around supplier communication, month-end closeout, and those other horizontal applications that work for everyone, and then dives into the nitty-gritty of transformational projects, such as scheduling optimization, that can be transformative to manufacturers. This is a really interesting conversation, so I hope you enjoy. Thank you.
So what's changed around the conversations that you're having with a partner, like the initial conversations when you have a new client come along between today and what you're, conversations you're having 3-5 years ago?
So that's a very good question, because conversations ultimately have not changed, right? There's still a problem statement that needs to be solved.
Right.
And as customers, they don't know what they don't know. And that's why they bring us.
Right.
They don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
The world, probably since, you know, the 2010s, is so filled with information through AI, through Google, you know, through all of these places. Information is so readily available. And what I found in conversations with customers now versus back then is that because of all of this information, they're actually very confused. Like, what is the right thing for me, Wesley? What is the right way for me to go? I'm having more of those conversations in terms of advise me on what is the right thing to do instead of convince me that Dynamics is the right thing.
Right.
So because Dynamics or any ERP application can sell itself at the end of the day, right? It's got the core processes in there. Some have advanced processes, some don't, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to nitpick. But basically, customers are looking for advisory before they're looking at implementation.
Right.
And that's why we see like typical sales cycle in ERP takes a little bit longer, because you're spending more of that advisory time with customers than what you would be doing. And that's why I say the conversation, the problem statement hasn't changed. It's how we're addressing that problem statement in their conversation that's changed.
Right. So it's still improving processes.
Correct.
Going in, understanding existing processes, existing
Correct.
Culture, and then taking them on a journey of automation
or Absolutely.
Improving that process, applying current technology or digital
Beautifully
transformation
said.
To that process, educating them on what can be done, and educating or taking them on that journey, making them feel comfortable that you're not losing the core of what you are. We're enabling you, and we're kind of
and that's a very interesting thought that you put there, right? Is that and I've seen it quite a bit. Is that customers feel like if I bring in complete automation, it's almost a fear of the fact that I'm going to lose the culture or basically the way that my business runs, because I wouldn't be making money in order to go to market to get an ERP application, right? I'm only looking at it from a growth perspective. We can't sustain the way that we are right now. So in order for us to grow, we need better processes, or we need to enhance our processes. But we can't lose the heart of who we are, right? Because as much as what like the times that we live in, people think that, oh, you know, if we just read, you know, pop culture, it's all about the popcorn generation, you know, like the mic, I want it now. I need it now. I need it at this moment in time, right? Mm-hmm. But the relationship between the customer and the vendor has not changed. Fundamentally, that will never change.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I need something from you, and I'm going to buy it from you, and you need something from me, and you're going to buy it from me. That relationship has not changed.
Yeah.
Maybe the mode in the way that we communicate is enhanced through Teams or, you know, however the way that we communicate, but the relationship hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, that is a very fundamental thing that people are losing sight of, right? And a thing at HSO that we do is that we make sure that we meet the customer where they're at
right.
instead of trying to throw this whole elevator pitch to them and tell them, this is going to save your life, this is going to do this, this is going to do that. It's not about that. It's about ensuring that we don't fundamentally change who we are, but we enhance that and we're able to grow and go to different markets and release different product lines and do different things, right, within the industries that we're in, and but still stay who we are because that's why we do business.
Yeah.
And specifically in ANZ region. Like I love it because we're still very much old school in a sense of the relationship management. Mm-hmm. It's about building that relationship. Yeah. And that's why vendors and customers have been together for many, many years, because the relationship has maintained. And all the technology needs to do is enhance that and make it quicker for my team to get to my vendor, quicker for my team to get to my customer.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. It's about automating those aspects of it so that I can focus on what I need to do.
Yeah, so enhancing rather than replacing.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, sounds like you're echoing to me something we've heard on these podcast interviews over and over again, which is including operations in the conversation, where it sounds like you'd absolutely agree with.
Absolutely.
It's about operations, understanding those operations, and then applying technology.
Correct.
To what you discover there. Given that, like, is there anything that you look for in your conversations with COOs or operations officers when you're doing that discovery specifically around, I'm sure it's a hot topic at the moment, implementing AI and how they look at, you know, how do we get some of that AI, those sweet AI gains that everyone's after?
Let me answer the first part of your question, right? So absolutely. Gone are the days where system implementers talk to IT. When I was a customer in my previous life, something that I mandated was that when we went on this huge transformation, just give you a little bit of backstory, first government entity in the Middle East to go to Microsoft Cloud. And we were replacing all of our on-prem technology and putting it into Microsoft Cloud. Yeah. Talking about customer portals, vendor portals, ERP, CRM, everything was going into the cloud, right? Power BI, Fabric, all of those kind of things. And everybody, you know, very traditionally in maybe government is just a sector that's very similar this way, is that it's always, you know, an IT project. And something that I kind of mandated is that this is not an IT project, this is a business project at the end of the day. It's not me that needs to change technology. It's you that needs to change technology, right? Mm-hmm. Ultimately, our on-prem infrastructure was going to be deprecated, not supported by Microsoft, et cetera. And yes, that is the, you know, sort of the catalyst that put us into the journey that needed to do it. But ultimately, we could have still maintained it ourselves on-prem, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't need Microsoft support to do that. But to be compliant, we needed to figure out which way we were going. And for me, everybody was like, well, you know, it's your responsibility. And I'm like, no, just hold on a second. It's a business project, not an IT project. You are driving your specific area in the business. You are giving me a subject matter expert that I'm going to manage to make sure that we meet certain deliverables to get stuff done on time. Mm-hmm. But it's not my project.
Right. You know? IT is a tool that you're applying to.
Correct. IT is the technical tool in order to engage in conversations that the business cannot have with the partner at that point in time. So when that message got clear, that's when we got more buy-in. So from my perspective now, sitting as the partner on the table, we kind of mandate that we don't talk to CIOs. We talk to CIOs from a, not mandate, we talk to CIOs from a very technical perspective, but we can't get requirements from a CIO, right? Or from a CTO, or from an IT team, they might understand the business absolutely intricate because ultimately they do. Mm-hmm. They're managing the systems that the business is using, right?
From a technical perspective,
right? They're supporting the business. So if the business has an issue on why I can't receive a purchase order, they go to IT. So they know, okay, so the business has to receive purchase orders. But why are we receiving purchase orders? I need to speak to a CFO about that and say, do you manage accruals as an example? Is that the reason why? Are you doing an expense accrual so that when you close your month end that you can offset your expense versus your actuals? Like, is it a budget management? The IT is never going to be able to answer those questions. Mm-hmm. So we definitely talk to the business because the business is the driving factor for the success. I can probably say in my career, is that some of the reasons why projects fail is because the right people are not involved.
Yeah.
And if the right people are not involved, we're not going to get the success that we need.
Yeah.
Right? So, to answer your question about the AI, the wonderful terminology about the AI, right? So, AI is such an interesting concept to customers right now. Mm-hmm. But fundamentally, they have no idea what it is. I love it. Because I think from an exploratory perspective, it opens them up to wanting to explore it.
Right.
Because they don't understand it. Mm-hmm. Right? And let's be honest, some technology giants don't understand the full power of it.
Yes.
Not to name names. So for me, when we get these questions around, I'm very keen to see what Dynamics has out of the box from an AI perspective. I just had a conversation this week on that, right? I need to automate month-end processing as an example. Can Dynamics do that? And I'm like, well, yeah, in Dynamics, we've got certain agents that we can deploy standard out of the box that can help you do subledger to ledger reconciliation, right? But if you want to go that next level, as an example, where the agent is autonomous and working on your behalf, you know, there might be a little bit of gap in terms of that, and we'd have to see how we'd have to do that. But I think fundamentally is the it's almost like when cloud came out, people were like, oh my God, what is cloud? Like, is my data going to sit like literally in a cloud up there at the top, right?
Yeah.
It's very similar to that. It's like, okay, so in practice, there's no understanding of what it's actually going to do, right? What automation is it going to do? All I know is that I want it to make things faster.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a good ledge for us to jump off of to have conversations, right? To say, hey, okay, so this is how it's going to make your life faster.
Right.
This is how it's going to make your month-end close from 10 days to 5 days, as an example, right?
Yeah.
That's not a qualified metrics, everybody. I'm just giving you an example.
No promises.
No promises. It's not a qualified Gartner or McKinsey metric. But, so for me, it's just purely about exploratory right now. And specifically from a Dynamics perspective, I mean, Microsoft is the one that has beat the drum about it, right? From Inspire, when it all came out and Copilot came out and it can do this and you can talk to it as a chatbot and it can write emails for you and it can do all of this kind of thing. The adoption on that side of it has been extremely high from what we've seen. And now people are like, okay, well, if I can do this in Teams, can I do this in the ERP? Like, is that something that I want to do? But again, it's the understanding where we're struggling, because it's every business. It's about, okay, I've got a problem statement. This is your solution, but what is my ROI to that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what am I going to get for spending this, you know, $10,000 as an example? What is that going to solve for me? And that's a lot of the questions that we get asked right now around that.
Yeah. Given that, and your experience across a bunch of different industries, can you identify any kind of shape of these problem statements or problem questions that will give you some inkling or help you kind of point the direction of whether it is rolling out standard Copilot, Copilot Studio, or a built-in agent versus actually let's build you a custom solution that's going to like be specific to your process?
Very good question. So ultimately, because we have very deep industry knowledge within my team, I've got chartered accountants, I've got, you know, CPAs, I've got production managers, I've got, you know, supply chain heads in my team that are implementing Dynamics. Because we've got very deep industry knowledge within our teams, it makes the conversation a lot easier around, you wanna do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you wanna do that, now where we basically ultimately have to get the customer to is like the technology side of it. Because everything has a license impact, you know, as you mentioned. Ultimately, for me, I believe the identification processes is on, and to shamelessly plug here, is basically doing, you know, that jumpstart AI session. It's understanding like what your need is and ultimately what technology we're going to be using is actually secondary to it, in my opinion, if that makes sense. Because very simple use cases or, you know, medium, you know, simple to medium use cases can be done easily in Copilot. Microsoft makes it very easy for implementation partners to get it up and running, you know, connecting data together. building some of the autonomous steps that we need into it. It's actually you know, medium complexity. I wouldn't say simple, but it's medium complexity, right? But when we get to these very complex scenarios, like one that I'm still trying to get people on board with is something called a scheduling agent for manufacturers, mm-hmm. right? Now, for manufacturers, probably I think we would say 50 to 70% of them, their biggest problem on the shop floor is the fact that they're unable to schedule effectively, right? It's dependent on people. It is dependent on people understanding what is going on the floor at every single second or minute of the day, right? And it's very difficult to do that because if you have a huge plant and a huge shop floor with probably 30 to 40 to 50 sort of bays that somebody's assembling somebody or something's welding something or somebody's painting something, right? It's very difficult for a scheduling team to understand that, oh, Wesley, the painter is off sick today, right. As an example, right? Because I've got
what's
a team
the impact?
Of... Yeah. Correct. And what's the impact to that? So for me, it's a scheduling agent. It will probably be the best thing in the market for manufacturers. It's actually something at HSO we're actually looking into getting into, right? So from a customer perspective, if there's any customers listening that are willing to jump on the journey with us, we would absolutely want to 100% do that with you. But basically to assist, to use an autonomous agent to pull data from HR, to understand if Wesley's off sick today, did he, you know, or pull data from Teams where he texted his manager and said, oh, I'm not feeling well today, I'm not coming in, right? Be able to understand sort of that side of it from a people perspective, to understand from the machine perspective, has the machine been running for 1,000 hours? It needs to cool down, as an example, and then propose schedules to schedulers. Yeah. On the basis of very broad criteria, yeah. right? Because it's not a one-fits-all kind of science. Mm-hmm. Now, for me, at the end of the day, it's like, okay, that would probably be a combination of Copilot Studio and a very much custom-built agent using other technologies, right? But the value that would bring to the business is enormous because, you know, I'm not going to talk about this again. It's not a verified fact. I mean, probably get you to like a 70% accuracy, where right now I've met with manufacturers that are sitting with a 20 to 30% accuracy on scheduling. It's a tiresome job, right? It's
is it done manually at the moment?
Great question.
Yeah.
So definitely from a Dynamics perspective, we have wonderful tools in the standard application that can help you. But I wouldn't say it's not done manually. Dynamics brings all the data together for you, but it still requires a human mm-hmm. to go through metric by metric and make a decision on which order are we going to stop and which order are we going to schedule right now, mm-hmm. right? And if that human is off sick today, mm-hmm. that entire operation stops because that knowledge is sitting with that person or trying to get somebody into it that's going to mess it up, as an example, from experience. So... yeah, I mean, it would be a good example to do that.
Given that we're looking at processes, individual processes for companies, and that's kind of the core of what we do, playing devil's advocate, I guess, like, are there any kind of processes that you find common across businesses, across different industries that, like, everyone, or not everyone, but, like, the majority can implement and see gains?
Absolutely.
Across the board.
Absolutely. Yeah,
do you want to talk a bit more about that?
No, sure. There's definitely very common use cases, as we refer to them, right? Across every business. I just gave you one earlier, month-end closing. Mm-hmm. Every company needs to do month-end closing, mm-hmm. right? No matter what industry you're in, you have to close month-end. Now, the complexities in month-end closing might be a bit different. So if you're a manufacturer, you've got to close inventory, whereas your professional services, you don't have to close inventory. But you have different problems. You need timesheets done, as an example, right? So month-end closing is different, but it's a very similar process for every single business, right? We'd close cash first and then close AR and then close AP, close AP, then close cash, then close AR, et cetera. So the steps are almost exactly the same across everybody. But that's definitely something that could be automated. Another one that that comes to mind is purchasing. Everybody needs to buy something from someone. Now, to the degree of what we're buying, that's different, right? Mm-hmm. But the steps are the same. So Microsoft has implemented the supplier communication agent in D365. What's the biggest problem with suppliers? They don't communicate. Suppliers don't communicate, right? Every customer has that frustration. I'm waiting for you to get back to me on a specific thing that I'm buying from you, and I'm not getting that feedback time, you know, on time. So the supply communication agent is basically an agent that generates communications based on delayed deliveries or partial deliveries or a purchase order that was confirmed late, et cetera. And then it generates an email for you that your, you know, procurement team can just send, or it can autonomously send the email if you wanted to do that to the vendor, right? And then wait. And then when the response comes back and then it can do some certain actions off of that. Those are some use cases that companies can definitely use. But one for me that I feel, because I like the fact that the use cases that are common mainly sit within the finance related activities, because as we know, historically, finance departments have just been bogged down with paperwork, right? And Excels and reconciliations. So I see a lot of potential in automating those processes where finance departments need to be more strategic, right? They were historically not. You were just putting the numbers in, generating invoices, giving me my report at the end of the month. Whereas now, post-COVID, finance departments have to be strategic. They have to be advising the business on cost, revenue, right? Gaps between that, risks. And they're not getting time to do that because they still, so the workload hasn't changed, but the expectation of them has. So yeah, for me, those are the typical processes that I would see being able to automate across any business. And I feel like there is some good traction from an HSO perspective, from a Microsoft perspective, to lighten those workloads, because now CFOs need to be strategic and their finance departments have to be strategic. It's, you're a partner of the business. You're no longer just that department that dictates, you know, certain activities from a financial perspective. So
cool. So what I'm hearing is that, yes, there are problems and processes that are common, and maybe you can have like a template that you would apply, but in each individual situation, you'd still be tweaking it to that individual organization. It's not complete off the shelf by it.
Of course. Absolutely.
That's so, the difference, right?
Yeah. So to give you an example, in my years of experience, I've heard finance departments closing month end from 2 days, and I'll give you the metric for that, 2 days to 15 days, right? If you notice the difference in the time frame for them to close, putting the same agent in there is never going to meet the requirement, because definitely the guys that close in 2 days, their processes are, you know, all well oiled, right? People know exactly what they need to do, when they need to do it. So to introduce an agent to that to automate it probably would bring it down to 1 day. I don't know. Maybe they don't even need month-end closing. Who knows, right? The agent will just automate posting journals. But the company that needs 15 days, there'll be a lot of work to get it to that level, because maybe they're not as mature as the company that was 2 days to do that.
Understanding of the process.
And then, of course, the understanding of the process.
Or the process isn't as mature as it developed. Okay.
And I feel like that's a very good point that you're making, right? The maturity of processes is what dictates how we can automate them, right? If your process is currently sitting on Excel, it's going to take a while to automate it, as an example. Whereas if you've got a fully fledged sort of running, let's shamelessly plug D365 in here as an example, where we can just automate the pain areas, which it doesn't do natively because it's, you know, it's a finance system. It's going to be a lot easier to do that. And the tweaking is going to, in your words, is going to be a lot less. So the maturity of your process dictates how long it's going to take for us to do something.
Yeah.
To automate it through AI.
Yeah. So it sounds like this is coming back to data, as things often do.
Everything is data, man. Everything is data.
Comes back to the data and the shape of it. So we hear over and over again, like, bad data in, bad data out. And I think this is it's really coming to a head where people go, give me some AI. It's like, cool. Let's look at your data.
Why? Why do you want to look at my data? No, let's not use data. I agree.
Yeah. So what's the minimum kind of benchmark that you need, or that you'd advise, or that where you'd say, we can start applying AI at this point? What's the kind of ground level that we need to get to before we start considering AI?
Okay. So to be frank, like, giving a minimum benchmark is a bit tough, because it, it really depends, right? Like there's a lot of dependencies on that. And I'm not evading the question. I'm actually being genuinely honest here. There's a lot of dependencies in terms for us to get to that benchmark, right? But this is technology agnostic, right? For me, data is ultimately the entire project of implementing an ERP, of implementing supply chain, of implementing manufacturing, right? Mm-hmm. The number one cause in my 20 years of doing this, of anything failing, is data, right? Give you an example. When I was a customer, so in the government, basically, you're more of a property manager than what you are a government, right? So basically, you know, you have a piece of area that you're managing property for, lease agreements, et cetera, right? And leasing is a very intricate sense because it's got operational side of it and it's got the financial side of it, yeah? And operationally from a lease agreement, you know, you could have a lease agreement that basically has got like so many terms and conditions in it that are different and different caveats and, you know, I'm paying monthly or I'm paying quarterly. So there's many different variables of it and that ultimately affects the service delivery that you give, et cetera. Now, for me, that data when I was a customer, that was probably the hardest data set that I've personally ever worked on, right? Because it doesn't fit one sort of rule. It's not like I could just go, you know, write a quick select statement or something and figure out the anomalies or whatever. Ultimately, you could do it, but putting time into doing that is very difficult. So data for me is, and that was probably one of the main risks that I was managing, was to ensure that, because that was the biggest failure point, was the data. Mm-hmm. Now, what people don't take seriously or customers don't take seriously is data. Probably every single project that we work on, right now, my first topic of discussion with customers or my team's first topic of discussion is data. Mm-hmm. Show us your data, right? Because ultimately your data will dictate how much effort we're going to need. The configuration of a system and, you know, testing it and designing it and all of that, it's a pretty straightforward process, right? Mm-hmm. But when your data comes and lands into this shiny new system, mm-hmm. right? I always say to my customers, I'm like, I can give you the best, shiniest system in the entire world, but if your data is crap or doesn't work or dirty, mm-hmm. as an example, right, that entire thing is going to be a failure. Mm-hmm. And we see it over and over and over. And data is not deemed as a priority, mm-hmm. until we get to the end of the project. Oh, I need to do training now. So can you put some vendors in there? Okay, sure, we'll put some vendors in. It fails. So because cleansing of data is so important. So when you say what is the metric or, you know, the baseline of it, it's different for different customers, different industries. Mm-hmm. But data is ultimately the first point of anything, of literally anything. We cannot do anything without the data,
yeah.
Right? Your customer data, you need to invoice them. You need to have ABN numbers on them. You need to have contact people so that we can send them invoices automatically, right? Mm-hmm. Vendors, you need to have ABN numbers on them. You need, you know, different pricing for customers. You got to have different price groups for your customers. So your pricing data needs to be correct. All of that is data.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
It's kind of the whole thing really, isn't it? It's creating a shape for the data and processes for that data.
Beautifully said.
And AI is the kind of the top of that process.
Exactly. And this is my thing, right? Like I've had conversations with customers, again, technology agnostic here, conversations with customers where they're like, oh, I'm very interested in this. And I'm like, okay, you know, let's talk about it. Cool. So talk to me about your controls as an example from your data perspective. No, why are you starting with that? Mm-hmm. Because AI can only automate on your data, yeah. Right? If your supply communication agent that I spoke about from Microsoft, the only way that that can work is if your vendors have email addresses against them. If you're not putting email addresses against your vendors, what's the point of the agent at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
The month-end closing, as an example, if you're not posting your subledger journals to your ledger, as an example, then how are we going to run month-end close? It's your data that enables the AI at the end of the day. That's how it automates. That's how it learns, is on top of your data.
Yeah. I feel that's a key takeaway that maybe, I don't know if I've heard it said this way, but or that even that it's a problem, but AI is not a solution to your data problems.
No, it's absolutely like, not.
It
actually will cause more problems.
Yeah.
It will actually, because the thing is that, you know, the buzzword autonomous, what a buzzword, right? Autonomous agent. It's just going to do things for me on crap data. So we're going to send, you know, vendors emails on crap data. We're going to send customers invoices on crap autonomously on crap data, right? Like if my inventory is wrong, how do I understand like how I can reduce my inventory on crap data? Sorry, I know crap is not the right word, but dirty data.
Dirty data,
right? I mean, take unsanitized data, unfortunately. But I mean, it's about being real about it, right? So you want to automate, great. But on dirty data.
Yeah.
And you're not going to automate anything because all you're going to be doing is adding additional risk to your process autonomously on dirty data.
Yeah, right.
And that is why, for me, whenever we're engaging on a new customer, right? Whenever we're engaging on a new customer, I tell them, I say to them, I'm like, okay, we can absolutely talk about AI, but let's get the processes right and let's get the data right. And then we can slip it in.
Yeah.
And AI is normally done at the end of the project, not in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because it's only once the processes are nicely clean and automated, once the data is nicely clean, right? Is that we can add the automation on top of it.
Yeah, yeah. AI is a lever for clean data. And
absolutely.
It's a big lever, but you got to...
Absolutely. And it's a powerful lever to use, right? It's absolutely powerful because all of these mundane things that people have to do, right? It's taking time away from them being actively involved in the business. People think that it's there to replace people. It's not there to replace people, right? It's to automate those dirty tasks that people don't do really well, right? They don't do it really well because it's not fun to do it.
Yeah.
That's time it's taking away from them in terms of engaging with your vendors to maintain good relationships with your vendors, right?
Back to the beginning.
Exactly. Yep. Coming back to the beginning, right? That relationship between the customer and the vendor. So, I mean, HSO has a payflow agent, right? Which is an AP communication, basically. So, you know, a vendor can email you and say, what's the status on this invoices, right? And then the agent will go and work and it will look in D365 and it will pop out a response, write an email and send it back. But if your data's not correct, right? Like if your AP people are posting journals directly to the ledger and not to the subledger, the agent's going to be useless, right? Mm-hmm. So it's about the controls in the data that are there that it can enable the automation.
Yeah. So AI is the motivator for good data, not
absolutely
not the solution.
It's something I've been crying about for many years, but I'm glad it's here now. Yeah. Everybody wants it. They want to automate things, right?
Yeah.
They want things to be autonomous.
Finally motivated to do it.
Finally motivated to clean their data. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So given that we've built our data to a sanitary level, we've started to get to the point where we're leveraging AI. What are the metrics that you see your clients or that you suggest it to your clients to use to measure whether, like, hey, is this working? Is this success?
Great question. So every single function in an organization has KPIs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So inventory, as an example, like an inventory manager needs to make sure that our inventory stays within a certain dollar amount and that we're not overstocking, right? Inventory manager needs to make sure that, you know, our aged inventory is being used first or being sold first, as an example. Within our production process, you know, being used first within our production process, or we're writing it off. So every single function or department has KPIs. AP has KPIs that they pay on time. As an example, that bank balances are at a certain, everybody has certain KPIs. So what I've been in conversations going to customers when we're talking about the ROI, right? I say to them, okay, what are your KPIs for your certain departments that you want to automate through AI? Let's use that as our baseline and as our metrics and see if we get better automation or better KPI strength when we implement the, implement the agent, right? Or whether we automate a process. Because those are industry standard KPIs that everybody uses, right? And basically, I've seen some organizations where they've got KPIs on like monitors in offices so that people are consistently reminded about these KPIs within the organization. And we use the, I propose those KPIs. And then, of course, using some industry best practices, right? So warehouse picking as an example, like, you know, if you've got a warehouse, you know, whatever, stupid example, 10 by 2, does it take my picker 3 minutes versus 5 minutes to do it, right? Those are the metrics that we use because there's industry standards and every single function has those KPIs to measure against. So that's how we advise our customers to measure the success in terms of implementing AI or an autonomous agent or co-pilot as an example. Does it make it faster?
So those KPIs are decided before the solution is even...
Well, they're industry standard, right? Yeah. So they've been there for, you know, many, many years. Companies are being measured by it. And this is something interesting, is actually some don't even have it implemented, right?
Don't have what implemented?
Like these standard KPIs implemented, like payment days. Like, you know, for AR, like there's days outstanding, a DSO as an example, right? Like days outstanding, using an agent to consistently send communication to your customers to pay the invoices on time before it hands over to the human to have a human conversation, like, why are you not paying on time, right? Can increase your DSO days. There's certain metrics that are industry standard wide that companies might be using and might not be using. So if we just adhere to those, because they're globally standard, right? We can tweak it as an example. There's in Dynamics, we have the supply chain risk workspace, I believe it's called. And basically it measures very much standard industry standards, which is order filled on time, as an example, order filled in full, as in, those are standard industry metrics, right? That we're using Copilot to assist supply chain departments and procurement departments to ensure that they're meeting industry standards, right? You don't want to be known as the vendor that never delivers on time. Nobody wants to work with you then, right?
Yeah.
So those standard industry metrics is what we advise our customers to use to measure the success of the AI. And of course, we can add flavors to it. I mean, I'm not saying, but I'm saying the foundation of it is to use the industry standards.
I'm imagining because these are industry standard and you've got all this experience in the industry, that that actually allows you to kind of almost pre-qualify a solution. Like, hey, we've done this X amount of times. We've seen this increase.
It goes back to that ROI conversation, right? It's like saying, if your current aged inventory is like 100 days, and that's insane. Like having aged inventory for 100 days is insane, right? Nobody wants to be sitting with inventory for 100 days. It means I haven't sold it. As an example, okay, cool. So we implement an agent that can basically monitor the aged inventory and provide you some solutions, whether you scrap it, whether you sell it against this certain sales order, whether you transfer it to this warehouse, as an example, and that can increase that 100 days. It, you know, this is not a qualified statement again, maybe 70 days. At least you shaved off 30 days. It's not sitting on your balance sheet of, you know, that 30 days of inventory is not sitting on your balance sheet, you know, making you look like, you know, profitable.
So we've covered a lot of ground. Looking across all the projects that you've been all involved with and across the ages, what's one design principle around AI and ERP that customers still tend to get wrong?
Only one.
Your favorite.
My favorite one. Design principles. I would say design principles that customers get wrong is future-proofing their solutions, right? And I know it's probably not the answer that you're thinking that I would give, but it's definitely an answer that is relevant. A lot of the time, we build for now. We don't build for the future.
Right?
And we don't design for the future, as an example. So in systems, you have to always design and build for the future growth. you're not building, let's just say you're a $10 million business. You're not building for $10 million because mm-hmm. why spend all the money to do that?
Right.
You're building for $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the design principle that we need to be focusing on is, where are we going to?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that we want to achieve?
Mm-hmm.
And then using the AI on top of that to help us achieve that.
Yeah.
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 It's not about focusing on processes that we currently have pain points for. There's fundamentals that will never change in the world. As much as we try to implement AI and automation, there are certain fundamentals that will never change. I always make the statement, and I know sometimes not you only, but people laugh. I'm like, companies will always need an ERP. Mm-hmm. They will always need an ERP, right? AI is optional in certain industries, as an example, might work for a lot for certain industries and maybe not for other industries, like hospitality, right? Mm-hmm. How are we going to have AI to deliver food to the table, right? As an example. Maybe when robots come, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But like, they will always need an ERP to account for their inventory, to account for their revenue mm-hmm. at the end of the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the future proofing of the way that you design your system, your processes, your data for future is how AI can enable that. You know what I mean? So I think if customers are focusing on the next 5 years, don't change ERPs. But if you're focusing on your 10-year goals and your 15-year goals, as an example,
mm-hmm.
that is what we should be building now. It's painful. Because now we've got to train people for something that we're trying to achieve in 15 years' time. Mm-hmm. Now, yes, the change management is going to be tough. The automation of the AI on top of it, because people are still trying to get their heads around, oh, we've been doing something for 20 years a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're trying to build and change for the future, right? Because the whole point of strategic roles like CEOs and CFOs and chief manufacturing officers is to build for the future,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't have that design principle in what we're doing, for me, putting AI on top of it is just automating what we do today and not what we're intending to grow to.
Yeah, right.
In the future.
Yeah. That's a very large window in today's time scale, 15
Correct.
Years.
But everybody needs to have a strategy.
Yes.
Right? It's strategic in what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
So, and when I say that, people, you know, might be listening to this going, okay, but what do you mean? Like, how do I build for the future, mm-hmm. right? When you have a strategy in place and you're saying, okay, today we're a $10 million business, in 5 or 10 years' time, we want to be a $100 million business, right? There's steps that we need to go to be that $100 million business. We're building for those steps.
Mm-hmm.
And how is AI going to help us automate to get us faster, maybe in 8 years, to mm-hmm. that $100 million, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. ultimately, that's what the tool is there to do. That is what those tools are there to do, is to help businesses grow.
Yeah.
And I think like sometimes we fundamentally forget that. It's not about implementing an ERP or implementing AI. It's about implementing tools to assist us to get to our $100 million goal in 8 years instead of 10 years'
yeah.
time.
Yeah. It's not just cutting costs, it's increasing productivity.
It's increasing productivity. And I think the moment that mind shift changes, right, in very traditional businesses such as manufacturing or professional services, like I always say like professional services is the oldest business in the world. I'm not going to go into what the oldest business is, but it's the oldest business in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Selling skills for a living is the oldest business in the world,
mm-hmm.
right? It fundamentally has not changed in what people sell, but how do we grow
mm-hmm.
moving forward in the world that is rapidly changing?
Yeah.
In technology that's rapidly changing from one day to the next day, right? How do we be strategic enough to grow? And how are we going to use these tools to get us to that goal in the oldest industry in the world?
Mm.
So that's the way that I try to enable my customers to think, is like, where are you going? Let's have a conversation about that first. Let's not talk about whether Copilot or, you know, OpenAI or Dynamics or whatever is the right solution for me. Where are you going? So we can advise you to tell you, okay, this is the path. Take our advice, right? We're experts in this. This is the path that you should go on
mm-hmm.
to get you to that point. And it's a collaborative, consultative process.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about technology.
Yeah.
Everybody only wants to focus on the technology, right?
Mm.
Okay, how can I get Copilot in?
Yeah.
But for what? Yeah.
But why?
Why?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, how is it going to benefit your people? Mm-hmm. How is it going to get you to that future state that you want to get to? That vision that you've got, that strategy that you've got. Let us help you with that before we just put something in. And within 6 months' time, people are like, oh, well, I can do it faster if I just do it in Excel. I'm just saying, right? At the end of the day, I can do it faster this way. So then I don't use it. Then you're paying for Copilot licenses because you've signed up for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about where you're going and how we can make it fit where you need to be.
Yeah, right.
Basically.
So what I'm hearing, get your data systems in place.
Yep.
Get your processes in place. Get you all shaped up so you can pull that lever.
Absolutely.
Take you into the future.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, Wesley, we're going to finish this off with a fire, quick fire round.
Cool.
Get down.
I'm here for that.
I do mean quick fire. I'm going to read off my list here. All right, myth to bust about AI and ERP in 10 seconds.
It's not here to replace people.
Nice. First process should automate in professional services.
Timesheets.
First in manufacturing.
I told you, the scheduling agent.
Cool. One sign a customer is truly AI ready for ERP and one red flag they're not.
Data, the red flag, and strategy that they're ready.
Right, nice. One thing that clients need to get clear on before they begin.
One thing they need to get clear on. Readiness.
What do you mean by that?
But it was quick
fire. I'm going to give you a little more time.
Thought it was quick fire. when I say readiness, is all of the aspects that we've been talking about today. Readiness in data, readiness in business process, readiness in technology, readiness in strategy, right? And people readiness.
Mm-hmm.
Change management is the biggest part of AI that I've seen. Right? Mm. People are so fearful, as much as they won't say it, they're so fearful. Mm. It's going to replace me. It's going to take my job. It's not there to do that. It's there to automate so that more work comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's there to automate to ensure that things go faster.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by readiness.
It's to grow, not cut.
Correct.
Awesome. Well, thanks for taking the time to come in and have a chat today.
Absolute pleasure. I love the topic because I'm very passionate about it as an individual, not from a business perspective, but as an individual, I want to see customers transform and I want to see businesses grow ultimately, right? So this is a very interesting topic. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome.